Welcome to the Northeast Notables Podcast, the best way to travel, discover new music, and hear exclusive interviews from the best small musicians in the Northeast. I'm your host, Jill Plant. Today we're going to be back in Boston hearing from the Q-Tip Bandits. But first, let's get some more fast facts about Boston. So when you think of subways, you think of the smelly New York underground train system and the pizza rat. But did you know that Boston was the first U.S. city to have a subway system? In the city of Boston, there are more than 850 restaurants, which is a lot. But only 40 of those 850 restaurants serve fast food. So after a concert one day, hopefully soon, you can get some traditional Boston food, whatever that is, because I haven't been there in so long because of the pandemic. And the Boston Marathon is one of the most famous races in the world, and its first edition was in 1867. Let's get into the music. Here's the Q-Tip Bandits' most popular song, Willow.
Leo Sun. I play the guitar, and I am also a front person in the band.
My name is Claire Davis. I am the other front person in the band, and I play bass. And then we've got three more members who could not be with us today, but we got Macklin Tucker on trumpet, we got Hoyt Parquet on trombone, and our drummer Dakota May Krantz.
Nice. So why did you guys choose your name, like the Q-Tip Bandits? Like, what's the story behind that?
Oh man, the story has humble origins. I think as a lot of just creative things happen, it came from just like a brainstorming session of, let's just throw every single idea we have out on the table. And Q-Tip nice. Bandits was just one of the names that floated out. And at the time we were also talking about, so in the original configuration of the band, there was a cellist and she was looking for a name for her string quartet, and the Q-Tip Bandits came up and she was like, nah, not for my project, but you hold on to that and you save that for something else. And so the first show we played, I was introducing myself in the band, and all of a sudden it felt right, and it came out of my mouth. And now it's just become, we're the Q-Tip Bandits because we like to clean your ears and steal your hearts.
Oh my God, that's so cute. Oh my God. So what inspired that the music video for your new song Willow, or yeah, is it new? I don't know if it's new.
It's the first song that we ever put out. The music video is new, the song's been out for a little bit, but yeah, it started as this collaboration between us and our director Elliot Lee, who also went to Emerson in the Boston area, and we ran into him and his friends at just like a chance encounter at this place called the Quincy Quarries here, and they were like flying their drone around and stuff, and we were, you know, just all hanging out, and we're like, oh, you go to college in Boston, we go to college in Boston, let's, you know, connect, let's change the Instagrams and whatever,
sync our pagers.
Yeah. And so just how things worked out, Elliot really wanted to work on a video with us, and we really wanted to work on a video with him. So we started to think of different ideas of how we could make this video work, and especially make the video work filming during a pandemic, and mm-hmm. what was feasible, what was not feasible. But yeah, we knew we wanted this kind of vibe of like feeling happily lost. You want to talk about what your inspiration was?
I feel like in the brainstorming of this music video, I love all cartoons that are like Where the Wild Things Are, Winnie the Pooh, and that sort of your stuffed animal or your like Calvin and Hobbes, like your stuffed yeah. animal or imaginary friend comes to life and takes on this role as your only friend type of thing. And that mixed with like Wes Anderson and Moonrise Kingdom and just that sort of aesthetic of this girl trying to turn her companions into animate companions.
Yeah, I really liked it. It just, the aesthetic of it, and like the yellow and like the willow, it was like really cute, and everything looks really nice.
Thank you.
Yeah. So like, what was like kind of the backstory of the band? Like, how'd you guys meet and all that?
So we all went to Berklee College of Music. The band started as my own project. So I came into school with like a handful of original songs I had written, and I was looking for people to play those songs with naturally. And the original configuration was like a saxophone, a cellist, a hand percussionist, and a drummer. We didn't even have a bass player. It was just very all over the place, and me trying to like just experiment. And I remember I met Claire at a recording session. So we were both hired as musicians for hire, hired guns for this production. And I remember playing in that rehearsal with her. And I feel like at Berklee and at a lot of art institutions, it's easy to let music become this sort of intellectual thing where we're always trying to like, it's healthy competition at times where it's like, we're always trying to one-up each other in that way. But playing with Claire, it just felt like we're just playing music to have fun. You know, it was like a simple three chord thing. And from there, we jammed with another drummer, and it just felt right. It felt like the music I wanted to be playing. It wasn't something I was reaching for. It was something that was already kind of ingrained. And from there, we just had friends who played instruments. we played with a drummer, Andrew Paolini, and we recorded like the first tracks for Willow. And when we heard everything, it felt a little bit like it wanted something else. And we had our friend Macklin, who plays the trumpet, who is still currently the trumpet player. And I remember I bumped into him outside the bookstore and I was like, Macklin, do you want to play trumpet with us? He's like, yeah. And I feel like the rest is history, you know?
Yeah. I was like in a band for a hot second. I play trombone too, but
sweet.
I told my friends that I could play piano, but I couldn't. But I really wanted to be in a band.
Yeah.
So it didn't work out, but so they ended up playing a few shows, but then they all split up and went to college. But
for sure.
Yeah. But I
just, you ever learned to play the piano?
I wanted to.
Nice.
I haven't though.
Fair.
So I saw that you guys did like a European tour. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, we were all we planned to do this semester abroad together. Like in our first year, we were like, you know what, next year let's study abroad. And so Berklee has this program.
I didn't want to go abroad, but the band was going and I was like, I have to go. Yeah. I have to go with them.
So I mean it was a lot of good luck that we could all, yeah, you know, go during the same semester. And so while we were there, we were like, well, let's take advantage of the fact that we are here. And we started booking a few shows where we were staying in Valencia in Spain. And then from there, we kind of started branching out, and we're connected with the like So Far Sounds community. And so through them, we were able to kind of book a few shows in like England and in Germany. As well as just, you know, we would meet people at conventions or like at, you know, hanging around at school. And that's how we got a show in Ghent, Belgium as well. And just all kind of start to like piece together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very much of like a DIY, like crash on people's couches, you know, like whoever would let us in and feed us, you know, we'd be so thankful and grateful.
Mm-hmm.
But it was such a fun experience, I think. And I think for me personally, I think for all of us, one of my goals is to have music be the vehicle through which, you know, like we can see the world. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the first taste of that, of being able to do that.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I was watching like one of your videos and you were like at like the TED Talk place, like,
oh yeah. We
did you guys do a TED Talk?
We played a TED Talk. They had us, I think it was the opening segment, one of them, but we worked with I guess she's a visual artist, but she works a lot with like clay and claymation and things like that. And so the whole TED Talk was us playing music and her doing like a in the moment, living art kind of thing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That was super cool. I'm so glad we did that.
Yes, I agree.
Again, it was just one of those opportunities that just like happened to fall in our lap and we're like, yes.
Right. It happened because we were there.
That's amazing. So what do you think, or like, how do you think having a trombone and trumpet in the band has like made your music different than others?
I think
good question.
The way that we use horns, I feel like when people hear horns in a band, they automatically jump to either like ska or like funk R&B, you know, like horn section type of thing. And I think the way that we use our horns isn't totally like either of those. And we kind of use it in this, like, I don't know, how would you say? I feel like if it, like the way other bands might use like an electronic instrument, like a keyboard or something like that to just play lines. I think that's kind of.
The first conversation I had with Macklin, our trumpeter, about playing in this band was, imagine you are the lead guitarist in this band.
Yeah.
And play like a lead guitarist on the trumpet rather than a horn section player. And I think a lot of trying to gear the horn section toward is like taking these more melodic lines rather than like punchy stabby, which is what they're great for, punchy stabby, but but sweetly flowy is also very good too.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the horns add so much to the band, not just in sound, but also just in personality. I think that they just bring so much to the table.
It's always a party when there's horns.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And I think personally too, having horn players is just like, for me as a band member with horn players, it's helped me understand creating music in broader terms, rather than, I don't know, it just seems so spiritual to use one's breath to play an instrument.
Yeah.
I can use this for something else while my body's doing something else, but to talk to them and understand how it feels like for them to play has been very cool for me as a process.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So
bass player's got so much soul. it's true.
So where's your favorite place to play in like the Boston area?
We're just talking about this beforehand. It's really hard to,
so we've been talking a lot in this pandemic about like, We of course we have all these dreams of like, we want to play Paradise Rock Club one day, we want to play the Brighton Music Hall, we want to play the Sinclair, all these big premier venues. But then it's like in the pandemic right now, we're just like, man, I just want to be in some grungy, dingy, sweaty basement, rocking out with a bunch of people sweating and who knows what's dripping from the ceilings. It's just like,
yeah, I feel like the pandemic especially has made us realize it's not about the place. The show can happen anywhere. It's about like the people who are there, and it's about, you know, the vibe that everyone brings and like the sense of community. So, and I think that is very prominent in like the house show type of scene, you know, where it's a very DIY sort of community feel.
One time I went to a show, it was in somebody's garage, and everyone was just going crazy. And then somebody opened a bottle of champagne and like sprayed it all over me and everyone in the crowd. And I'm convinced I might've had coronavirus and that's where it came from, because I ended up taking a drink of it and it was around 2019, the end of 2019. And then I got sick. That's why.
Yeah, it is like all these things that were so normal back then. You're like, wow, we really would just pass a bottle of wine around the entire room and it would be fine. But things will be different.
This is one spot that we played like thrice up till now, called the Garden of Alston. It's a house venue, like somebody's basement. There's this one spot in the middle of the basement on the ceiling. There's no like vent or like piping by it or anything. It's just wet on the ceiling. It's just always wet there. No idea.
It's a great spot though. Not the wet spot. Not the place.
The place itself. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They should change their name to that, the wet spot.
The wet spot. Oh, I definitely go to shows there. Yes. I'd be so down.
So I personally found you guys on TikTok. So how has like TikTok and other social medias changed the game for you guys?
I think it really, like, social media as a whole for artists and musicians and ourselves included, just like it expands our ability to connect with a larger audience. And especially in a pandemic right now, where it's like we typically try to tour, play shows, and gig as much as we can. And right now that's not really an option. And so social media and TikTok, especially right now for us, is like something that we can be creating content for, something that we can be sharing ourselves using and reaching out to new people.
Yeah, like you said, it doesn't limit us geographically. It kind of opens the world and connects people in a whole new way that was not possible 10 years ago, you know? So I think we have a lot to be grateful for social media as artists in this day and age. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how can people like support you guys like during the lockdowns?
Easiest thing, just listen to the music and tell your friends about it. You know, I think even with social media and all the ways that we can be reaching people, word of mouth is still the most influential space, where if we can be helped out, it's just by people who already know our music and love what we do, to just kind of share that with other people.
Yeah.
Because I think just for me, and I think the rest of the band, it's like making music is all about like sharing this thing that we love so much with others, and hopefully creating something that can make an influence and help people in their day to day. And if it's being shared, it's meeting that like professional band as a business mark, you know, that we all kind of have to strive for to make a living. But it also satisfies like the reason why we're playing music anyway.
Yeah, like it'll make us so happy when we get a comment of someone being like, wow, like Willow was on my Discover Weekly and like I've been listening to it nonstop since like 2019.
Oh, really. There was this one girl who sent us I don't know if it was a comment or a message, but she's like, this is my family's favorite song. Like when we're in the car together, when we're at home, like after dinner, like this is the song that comes on and everybody in the family likes this song and it brings the family together. And it's just like, fuck. So, like, really? Like, I wrote this song, like, by myself in a room because I was feeling some type of way and I needed to get it out. And you're telling me it can make such a huge impact on your connections with the people in your life. It's just, it's really incredible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just sharing it, talking about it. If you like it, let people know you like it.
Yeah, so what are your social medias? You know, where can we listen to your music?
Yeah, we are on, our music is on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Music, Deezer, Tidal. Everywhere that you can find much. But we're on Instagram at the Q-Tip Bandits. We're on Facebook as well. We recently joined TikTok, as you know. Also just at the Q-Tip Bandits.
Q-Tip Bandits, no hyphens, no spaces, all lowercase.
We're on Bandcamp as well. Bandcamp is the most direct way to monetarily support us. If that is something that anyone's interested in, we've got our merch up there and everything too. Mm-hmm. Got some socks.
Socks. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that covers it.
Yeah. I think you got it.
All right. Well, I think that's kind of it. Do you guys like have any favorite songs that you love playing?
I think all of my favorite songs are coming up in this next album that we're working on right now.
I agree. Now. I also agree.
We are in the midst of pre-production for our first full-length album. And that'll be coming out hopefully sometime in the fall. So we're excited for that.
Yeah. 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 I like, so right now, as Claire was saying, with that new album, there's going to be, I think, 4 or 5 songs that Claire has written. So all the music out right now has been like, I'm singing lead vocals. I was the primary writer behind those songs, but we're gonna get to showcase some of Claire's lyrics and her voice a little more on this record. And I love playing those songs because it gives me a chance just to play the guitar. So during live shows, like I enjoy those moments because I get to be guitarist and not singer for a little bit. And I'm excited to share those songs and everything else. We get to rock out on this record, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I'm excited to go see all the bands, and especially you guys in Boston once the pandemic is over.
Yeah,
for sure.
Can't wait either.
Guys, thank you for listening to the second episode of the Northeast Notables podcast. I would like to give a special thank you to the Q-Tip Bandits. Thank you so much, Leo and Claire, for coming on my show. Thank you for making time out of your busy days. Make sure you follow the Q-Tip Bandits on all their social media platforms at the Q-Tip Bandits. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, follow them, and make sure you keep up to date with the Northeast Notables podcast. Next week, we are going to be traveling down the East Coast, going to New Jersey, and talking to the band The Spins. Until then, have a great day, have a great week, and I'm your host, Jill Plant, and have a great day. Keep smiling. You got this.